Well, good morning, friends. It is really great to be together here in this space this morning, out of the cold and out of the rain. We are, on the surface at least, two unique congregations here in State College, Albright Bethune United Methodist Church and University Mennonite Church. But when we gather together, we remember that we are of one mind when it comes to our faith in Jesus Christ, and the belief that following in the way of Jesus makes a difference in our daily living and as we go out into the world. Our ongoing desire to be worshiping and in relationship is significant, especially at a moment in time where it feels like our culture and our country are more polarized and divided than they ever have been before. I believe this is part of what it means to be people who care about following the way of Jesus. It's to be gathering and connecting across our cultures, across our denominations, and across our traditions. In gatherings like this morning and the other ways that our two churches connect over the year, give me hope that we will in turn be working in our daily lives to be building bridges instead of tearing them down, to be working for peace instead of division, and to be doing the kingdom work of spreading healing in a context that so often is in need of just that. I'd ask you to turn with me. On the back of your bulletin is a gathering reading that we will share together here as we begin our time this morning. Please join me. Come, let us hear. Out of Zion, God shines forth. The Mighty One speaks and summons us, saying, "Gather to me, my faithful ones." As we gather, we remember again that we are all in need of God's peace. Here at University Mennonite Church, each week we light our peace lamp, and we do so again this morning. Just as many others do around the world, as a prayer for peace and to remind us that we are striving to join God's movement of peace in our world. Would you please join me in prayer? Creator God, we ask for your peace for all those who are carrying worry this morning. We ask for your peace for all those who are stressed this morning. We ask for your peace for all those who are downcast and tired and hurting. May we carry your peace with us as we move out into the world. Amen. I'd like to call Jeremy to lead us in our hymns as we open our service this morning.
Good morning. Our first two hymns will be from the Blue Hymnal, number 16. If it's convenient for you, let's be standing for the first two songs.
Sixteen, one, six.
Again, we are excited to welcome our visitors from Albright Bethune here to worship with us this morning. This tradition is a wonderful way to connect across congregations here in our community. We thank you for being here with us this morning to share in this worship service. We're also interested in welcoming visitors. If you are not a regular attendee of University Mennonite or Albright Bethune, we'd love to know who you are. And if you're willing to share your name with us here this morning, there are ushers on either side of our sanctuary here this morning with a microphone that would happily bring it to you if you are willing to stand and introduce yourself here this morning. Back there. Rodney?
Good morning, Mike Robinson. We're pleased to have my in-laws, Ed and Lenora, with us this morning, up from New York.
Welcome. Anyone else? Well, you're all welcome here this morning. We're also curious, has anyone recently celebrated a birthday? Birthdays in the last few days are coming up this week. Christian, you got one birthday in the back there. Anyone else? See some fingers pointing, but all right, here we go. Yeah, all right.
Our birthdays are coming up Friday and Saturday.
Wonderful. Well, let's sing happy. Any other birthdays? All right, let's sing happy birthday to these friends. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And I would also like to announce that after our birthdays, we also have a new addition to the family, and I'm excited for that. So,
that's exciting. As it falls on the calendar, our annual joint service ends up being in February, which is recognized in this country as Black History Month. It's always a pleasure to be in worship together because Albright Bethune has this wonderful tradition of lifting up stories during this time of year. And I'm excited to invite Michelle Tarango to the pulpit here this morning to share a Black History moment with us this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
This year at Albright Bethune, we decided that we know Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we know President Barack Obama, George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington, Malcolm X, Marian Anderson, Mahalia Jackson, Lena Horne, Mary Jackson, Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Maughan, all of these pioneers that have forged the way for us to be who we are and where we are today. This year we decided that we would recognize people in our congregation who have done what Dr. King said when he said that everyone can be great because everyone can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree all the time to serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. So this morning, I'd like to share a brief story with you about the impact of one of these legends. For those of you who don't know, I am from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm proud to call it home. Thank you, Albert. I grew up in the middle of an extended family, my mother, stepfather, siblings, my grandfather, and a great aunt. I am the oldest, and according to my siblings, I'm the bossiest. You will understand why in a moment. During my childhood and throughout high school, my mother and aunt were domestics. This means that they cleaned white folks' homes. To help you visualize this, think about the movie The Help. Sometimes during the summer, I went along with them. I learned to clean. I did the dusting with them, which is why I hate dusting now. But one of the things I remember very distinctly is that they called their employers Miss Jean, Miss Eula, Miss Pat, and Mrs. Rome. But they were always called by their first names. Thank goodness it was never girl. I don't think I could have stood that. My maternal grandfather was not an affectionate man, but he instilled in us the importance of reading and education because he only went to the sixth grade. Now, he never had a TV in his home. He learned the news through the newspaper and the radio. My great aunt was the spice of our home. She enjoyed life. And if I had to say, I think she was more bossy than I was. But she had been with my mother and lived with my mother since before I was born. So my Aunt Totsie was always with us. So that's a little background about my family. My grandfather instilled education. My aunt was always there. When everybody was born, when we were sick, she just took care of us. But I'm saying, giving you all this background to share what compassion and love looks like. My great aunt lives with us, and in her later years, she developed bladder cancer. My mother, after she became a domestic, went to work at an insurance company. While she was there, my sister and I gave birth to children, actually two sons, and my mother decided that she would return to school and get her high school diploma, which we were very proud of. She did this while taking care of my aunt, taking care of our family, babysitting my son. My sister was a teenage pregnant mother, taking care of that grandson who lived with them, and never once complaining. As time went on, my grandfather, who was a voracious reader, developed glaucoma, so much so that he lost his sight. Every day, once he could no longer take care of himself, my mother would leave her job at Pan American, go to my grandfather's house, fix and serve his dinner, go home, go to school, come back and start the day all over again, and I never once heard her complain. As my aunt grew weary and her disease progressed, she would, same pattern, go to work, go home and take care, stop at my grandfather's first, and then go home, take care of my aunt, and then go to school. Well, once she finished high school, this is where the bossy part comes in. I told her, you know, she felt, oh, I can go to a community college. And I'm like, why would you do that when you can go to a regular university? And she did. She enrolled in Southern University in New Orleans and still continued the same pattern of going to work, getting to work for 7 in the morning, and sometimes after college classes, not getting home until 10 in the evening. I share this with you because in her unselfishness, she taught my brother, my sisters, and I what it meant to be compassionate, what it meant to show love, and what it means to take yourself out of the picture and be able to serve another. And I'm proud to say that my mother in 1995 graduated with a Bachelor's of Arts in Elementary Education. And what really made me proud And as I use her as an example today because if you know, you have to take a qualification test for your certification. Well, my mother, and I'm going to say her age, at 57, passed the qualification exam. So not only did she graduate, but she graduated as a certified teacher. She was able to teach for a while, and then once again, being the unselfish person that she is, retired to take care of my nieces and nephews. She took care of my aunt until she drew her last breath. She took care of my grandfather until he quickly left us one Sunday morning. I think that part of my compassion and my empathy towards others is a direct result, not of what she said, but what she has done. I would also like to share with our friends here that we have in our Albright Bethune family many, many great leaders, many folks who may not ever be in a history book, but in my heart and in the hearts that they have touched here in State College will always be legends to me. And I'd like to ask them to stand when I call their names. Jacqueline Pegler, Lisa Warren, Dr. Debbie Atwater, Josephine Farrell, Don Farrell, Kathy Bowen, Dr. Blanny Bowen, there's some people, Andrew Jackson, Carl Echter. I should have started from the back and moved up. And finally, last but not least, Albert Stevenson, who is from New Orleans and who was one of the first African Americans to integrate City Hall in New Orleans in an office supervisory position. Ladies and gentlemen, these are our heroes. These are my heroes.
Michelle, thank you so much for inviting us into that story and these stories this morning. It is our honor to be a part of that here at University Mennonite. It is now time for our morning's offering. We have special music this morning from the Albright Bethune congregation. I'd like to invite Carl Echter and anyone joining. Andrew Jackson is going to be with him as well for some special music during our offering. I also failed to get two ushers to pass the offering plates. Would there be two people willing to do that this morning? Micah in the back and Dale here. Thank you so much for that music. I invite you to join me in prayer for this morning's offering. God of generosity and God of grace, we hear your call to generous giving in the way you meet our needs each day and in the peace you give which passes understanding. Having received so much, we offer all we have, our time, our talents, and money for your kingdom. Bless these gifts for the work of your church. Amen. At this time in our service, I'd like to invite the children to come forward for our children's time this morning, and I'll also invite Ms. Fran Osei-Osari to bring our children's time this morning.
Come on up, everybody. You know, I remember Brother Terrell Jones. When you come to your church, he used to always come up with a wagon, and he was told great stories. Do you remember him? Yeah, I really miss him. He's one of the servant leaders that was part of your congregation, too. Okay. It's great to see everybody. It's good to see you all here today. Today we're going to talk a little bit about messages. What's a message? What is a message? Could somebody tell me what's a message?
Something you want to say to somebody.
Something that you say to somebody. Sure. Anything else? I think I took a couple of things. Here's the message, right? What's that? What's that message?
Stop.
Stop. That's right. That's a message. Here's another message. What's that message? Danger. What would happen? Can you see what there's water there? It says it means don't swim there because it's dangerous. Okay. So messages can be words, or they can be like some of you go to school. How do you know when school is starting? Does anything happen? There's a clock. Do you have bells still? We used to have bells. A bell rings. Yeah. And sometimes in church, we know that the service is starting when somebody starts playing the piano, so everybody starts to get quiet. Okay. So messages can be verbal. They could be written. They can be sounds. You can see a beautiful flower, and maybe that's God giving you a message that the world is beautiful and there's goodness there. So there are lots of messages, and we hear them all around us all the time. But do you know what an ad is? An advertisement. What is that? They want you to buy something usually, right? In the stores, or on the radio, and on TV. Usually, an advertisement is somebody is trying to maybe sell something or convince you of something, and so they're telling you about it. And it's different than a message because it may be true and it may be not true. I just looked on the internet. Okay, do you know that Campbell's soup can? Can you see who is shown in that picture? Do you guys see those Disney princesses? Do you see that Belle and Cinderella and Tiana? Okay, those are, that's one way that they're advertising their soup. And they want you, if you like those Disney princesses and you think they're cool, they want you to think that the soup is cool too, just because there are pictures on it. The same thing, Coca-Cola. You know, you see that picture of them drinking the Coke? That's the message that they're trying to give you, is Coke is cool. Coke is now. Coke is sophisticated. Everybody's going to like you if you drink Coca-Cola. Now, Coca-Cola has a lot of sugar in it, can wreck your teeth, can do a lot of bad things too. So you have to look at that advertisement and decide if it's true or not. Or how about meals that you get at McDonald's, Happy Meals. Yeah. They use like, what's in there? A minion. Yeah. Everybody likes minions. So everybody likes Happy Meals. So everybody tells their parents to take them to McDonald's and buy Happy Meals. But if you look at the food that they're eating there, the French fries and the milkshake and all those things, they may not really be good for you. Same thing, Fruit Loops. Fruit Loops have more sugar than any other cereal. Okay? And yet it looks fun. So they often try to sell you things by making them seem cool. Like if you drink Coke, you're going to have a lot of friends. You're going to be cool. When my parents were young, they thought cigarettes were cool. And they thought it was really nice to smoke and, you know, everybody would like you and all that. Both my parents got cancer. They got sick from smoking. So the cigarette companies were selling you on smoking even when they knew that it wasn't good for you. So the difference between messages and ads are kind of a symptom that in life we have to really listen to what the message is. And one of the ways we know if it's true or if it's false is that we ask God to help us. And if you're trying to follow Jesus, you can ask Jesus to tell you what to do. You can ask a person that you respect and that you trust, maybe your parents or some wise person that you know, what to do. And you have to really listen to know the difference between if somebody's just trying to sell you something or if it's really true. Okay? So that's the message today. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to listen and hear your voice and not just believe all the ads that are telling us we need to buy things and we need to get things to know you and how to do what you want us to do. And thank you for your promise that you will help us to find the way to follow you. Amen.
Next hymn will be in the green Sing the Journey book, number 23, 2-3.
Thank you.
I'd like to call Christian Yoder forward to read this morning's scripture passage. And while Christian is coming forward, I'm honored to introduce our guest speaker here this morning, Reverend Pamela Ford, who is the current interim minister at Albright Bethune United Methodist Church. Reverend Ford has served for several years in our area as the district superintendent and has come out of retirement to serve the Albright Bethune congregation, which we really appreciate. She's jumped right into clergy gatherings and into movements like our upcoming Palm Sunday Peace Walk with a lot of enthusiasm. It's an honor to have you here this morning, Reverend Ford, and we look forward to your message. So, Christian, if you'd bring our scripture, and then you can bring your sermon. Thank you.
I'm going to be reading from Mark 9, 2 through 10. It's on page 820 if you want to follow along in the Pew Bible. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead could mean.
Good morning. It is great to be with you this morning. Bringing kind of a kaleidoscope of memories to me, for my grandmother on my dad's side was raised Mennonite. And though she kind of converted to being a Methodist, she made my grandfather get baptized before they got married. And the most important thing I learned from her, though, was keeping the Sabbath, something that is still so important to me, to know that there is time and place set aside to worship God. It is good to be here this morning on this Coming Together Sunday, which I think becomes more and more important in this divided world in which we live. Perhaps more churches and people of faith should be doing this more often, giving us a chance to sit down and share a meal together, break bread, and know that in that breaking of bread together, Christ will be made known to us in new and healing ways. So thank you for this opportunity, and thank you, Dr. Michelle Torregano, for sharing your history moment this morning. We're standing in this scripture, and we're standing in our spiritual lives right now at what I would call a threshold moment. A threshold moment is a time of significant change. Now, if you're a five-year-old, the threshold moment might be that moment when you first ride your two-wheeler without an adult running alongside. Things change. Many others for us as we grow up and become who we are. We move from our original homes, perhaps, for the first time. We go to school or we join the military. Threshold moments when things change for us and for others who connect with us. Times of marriage, certainly a threshold moment. We even speak about carrying the bride over the threshold. I don't know if we still do that anymore. Divorce and breakups are also threshold moments, times of change, changing jobs or even changing careers we have experienced. Threshold moments happen when new people come into our family, and we do look forward to that. And threshold moments are those when the beloved pass from our midst and we're left with holy memories, threshold moments, those times when the known and the familiar give way to the new and the unfamiliar and sometimes the unexpected and unchosen, when times of comfort are gone and we find ourselves in a time of vulnerability. Will I be able to stay on that two-wheeler by myself? Those times of threshold, of change, sometimes make our hearts beat faster as we see new possibilities on the horizon, possibilities that are good, and yet they also make us look repeatedly into the rearview mirror at what we may leave behind, for things will change for better and for worse. Today, a spiritual threshold moment is before us in the scripture that we heard this morning. As Christians, we're moving from the season of Epiphany, the showing forth of the glory of God, to the Lenten season. We'll celebrate that on Wednesday as we observe Ash Wednesday. Today, we read the story that we call the story of the transfiguration of Christ. Transfiguration, change. It's a moment of threshold for Jesus' disciples, and it announces a moment of spiritual threshold, a moving from a mountaintop moment, that mountaintop mountain of showing forth of Jesus Christ, to that moment down in the lower valley, which leads through suffering to the cross. And that threshold begins with this announcement that came in the presence of Peter, Andrew, and John, the announcement from heaven, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen, listen to him." I think the question for us this morning is, are we listening to him? Listening is risky business. What we are paying attention to and taking in, even through this auditory sense or through our vision or through our conversation with each other, changes us, transfigures us, shapes us. I remember seeing a photo not so long ago that made the rounds on social media. Maybe you saw it too. It was entitled "Visit to Grandma." And there's this big sectional sofa with prim and proper grandma seated right in the center. And on each side of grandma, six or seven or eight well-dressed grandchildren who have come to visit grandma. Every single one of the grandchildren is there like this. Earbuds in ears, headphones over their heads, and grandma sitting just smiling and looking ahead. What are we listening to? What are we paying attention to? What we pay attention to can change us. I'm a boomer. I grew up in the boombox era. Some of you did too. Where whatever music we were playing, everyone in the neighborhood heard, right? You stopped at a stoplight and you heard the music in the car next to you. Now we live in a playlist kind of world, don't we? I have a playlist. I bet my kids have no idea what's on my playlist. I have no idea what's on their playlist. How many of you have a playlist? You're on Spotify. Yeah, okay. We each have created these little mini universes of our own making. Somewhere, someone is listening in. They're called the algorithms on what we're listening into, so they can market right to us, telling us the car we need, the vacation we must take, and so forth. So whether we're in the classroom or the boardroom or the kids' room or the lunchroom, whether we're stuck in traffic, whether we're in the stadium, whether we're in a grocery store, we are listening to something. We're being bombarded with noise. Just two or three days ago, the American Association of Cardiologists came out with a statement about noise pollution. I thought it was so appropriate. They said there's considerable evidence that noise makes you sick. And one of the predominant diseases is cardiovascular disease. and they put noise pollution right up there with smoking cigarettes and obesity and being too sedentary as a health risk. What are we listening to? The scripture from Mark says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." I knew a kindergartner once who had neurological difficulties that resulted in his not being able to sort out the sounds that were around him. And so when he went to school, he wore what was called an auditory trainer. He would have the earbuds in his ears that would listen to a microphone kind of thing that his teacher spoke into, an auditory trainer, so he could sort out the teacher's voice from all the other sounds around him. As we move into the Lenten season this week, it's our invitation to find our own spiritual auditory trainers, if you will, that will help us to focus in on God's own voice. Sometimes we tend to think of Lent as sort of a dull gray season. Maybe it's kind of the time of the year that it is. We think about discipline, and we don't like that word. It's too much like going to the gym, you know? But I think of Lent as an invitation to an opportunity to find a new way to listen only to God. Those ways are prayer and scripture, and giving up harmful habits, or giving to people who need our help and our aid, opportunities to listen to the Christ, to tune in, to hear only him. And in responding to God's voice, our lives will cross a threshold and may even begin a new story. I'm at a threshold moment myself. I didn't realize that till this morning as I was getting ready to come over here. I've been on 13 or 14, maybe 15 missionary trips, volunteer trips, where you go to a place and help out in whatever way is needed. Most of them have been in this country. Three have been out of this country, in Nicaragua and Guatemala. My last one was 4 years ago, and I haven't done anything like that since. Because right after the last one, my health began to plummet. And it took about 2 years to figure out what exactly was going on. That's a long story unto itself. But 2 years ago, almost, I found a fantastic doctor who figured out what it was. It was a very rare kind of tumor on the pancreas, which is something you do not want to have. A very good surgeon removed it. And I am well. I am better than before. And I have been on that mountaintop, that moment of being thankful and being grateful and being able to do things like take care of my grandchildren, which I couldn't even do for a while. But now, as there's a threshold that appears. One day, a few months ago, I made reservations to take a week and go to Florida just to get some sunshine this time of year, something we all need. The next day, a friend of mine called and said, "We'd like you to go to Guatemala on a mission trip." And without thinking, and I'm an agonizer over most things, without thinking, I said, "Okay." Canceled Florida. Next month, going for a week to a children's home near Guatemala City. A threshold moment, a moment that changes our story. Peter and James and John, going up the mountain with Jesus, may have seen themselves ascending in other ways as well, not just going up to the mountain. They saw their status improving. They saw their preeminence in Jesus' kingdom being writ large. They knew if there would be a high priesthood that Jesus would choose, they would be in it. And they must have also felt some comfort, some reassurance in being with Jesus, who was now their beloved friend. And so on the top of the mountain, they said to Jesus, "Let's stay here." But then their story changes. Jesus says, the voice from heaven says, "This is my son, the beloved, listen to him." And at that moment, they know they can't rest on their blessings. Another phase of the journey is coming, and they will be called again out of their comfort zone. And they walk down the mountain. And what they find after this glowing moment on the mountain with Jesus are other disciples arguing amongst each other. What a rude awakening after a spiritual mountaintop moment. What they find when they come down the mountain is a father with a young boy who is convulsing and foaming at the mouth and crying out for healing. What a rude awakening. But that threshold, the threshold to which we are called in this moment, is to move from just believing in something, believing in someone, to acting on what we believe. And it will take us among the least, the last, and the lost. You can count on that. A poet named Edwina Gately wrote some words that I'd like to share with you. And to me, they talk about saying yes to the voice of Jesus, to hearing that voice and hearing it alone. She says, "We are called to say yes, that the kingdom might break through, to renew and to transform our dark and groping world. We are called to say yes, that honeysuckle may twine and twist its smelling leaves over the graves of nuclear arms. We are called to say yes, that black may sing with white and pledge peace and healing for the hatred of the past. We are called to say yes, that nations might gather and dance one great movement for the joy of humankind. We are called to say yes to a God who still holds fast to the vision of the kingdom for a trembling world of pain. We are called to say yes to this God who reaches out and asks us to share this amazing dream of love." As we pass this morning from that moment of great epiphany and showing forth of the Lord on the mountain, the threshold is before us as we enter into the season of Lent, just a few days away. We'll enter the great 40 days, is what we call it in the church. Are we ready to do whatever it takes to shut out the distracting voices and to recognize as we go the voice of the one who calls to us, to stop just believing and to begin acting on what we believe? May God bless you as you enter this spiritual transition moment and listen only to him. Amen.
You would find the insert in the bulletin. And we'll be singing off of that for a song of a response this morning. Since this isn't in our book, I know not everyone's going to be familiar with this, although this is an oldie. And the only thing, the melody is fairly simple, which you'll hear soon. The only thing to be aware of is the DS, which at the end of the chorus, at the bottom of the page, will then revert back up to the second bar on the second line, singing the words that are underneath that staff there. If it's convenient, let's be standing for this song.
Thank you. Now is the time for announcements. There's announcements, I know, at least in the UMC bulletin. Are there other announcements that need to be made at this time?
Hello, I'm Mark Dyerson from Albright Bethune, and we would like to invite you to our annual Men Who Cook event. It's March 18th this year, so Blanny Bowen and I will have tickets if you want to see us after church. The tickets, my threshold moment is every year when I have to do these tickets, and I usually fail. Last year I got the date wrong, the day. This year I got it right, but I forgot to change the year. So I guess for $10 you can come eat great food and time travel back to 2017. What a deal.
All right. Well, if there's no other announcements, you are all welcome to join us, enjoy a fellowship meal in the basement immediately after our service this morning, and there's no Sunday school this morning. The Reverend Pam will now bring the benediction.
Before I do that, Dr. Michelle has a little announcement to make it.
In the midst of giving all of those comments this morning and telling my family story, I forgot to introduce my mother, Lydia Stewart. Would you please stand? Who is going to be 80 years young this summer.
Amen. Will you stand, please, to receive the benediction if you're able? Now may the peace of God that passes understanding keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Our sending song is from the Green Sing the Journey book, number 777.